Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Like nothing you have ever heard before. It's a tough room. It's the place to be. Thrive to survive. It's Taz. It's the Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
1, 2.
You know it's every day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport. You know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games. They always bringing the knowledge. Nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth. Only me talking the truth. Ayy. You know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Ayy.
Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button to get a mortgage. A lot of football, a little baseball here on this Monday morning. World Series gets going tomorrow night down in Houston between the Astros and the Nats. A lot of Week 7 NFL Sunday action to react to. We've done a lot of it. Some other games we'll hit upon later on this hour. But your big three storylines here on this Monday morning. Here we go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
The Cowboys romp the Eagles on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, they certainly do. Eagles have got a world of hurt right now, a world of trouble. You look at the Dallas Cowboys, snap that three-game losing streak, get themselves to 4-3. Now lead what is a decidedly average at this stage, NFC East, as they're 4-3. The Eagles are 3-4. The New York Giants are 2-5, and the Redskins are, well, the Redskins are the Redskins. So, you know, that is where the division lies. And last night, Eagles turned the football over four times. Prescott was efficient. Elliott did a nice job running the football. Guys got healthier for the Cowboys. They didn't get off to a slow start, which has kind of plagued them here this year in 2019, Taz. It was really a great Cowboy performance.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. The Cowboys definitely were cooking on all cylinders, as the cliche goes. And, you know, it's like we were talking a lot about this earlier. It's like, what the heck happened with the Eagles? Like, it just seems like yesterday they were in the Super Bowl, you know, and it's just a whole different deal. It's just different. Wentz has just got kind of like a non-factor. He was 16 of 26, one interception, one touchdown for 191 yards. I mean, so, you know, Prescott was pretty efficient. He was 21 of 27, 239, one TD, one interception. But, you know, it just seems like they just the Eagles is just that whole buzz about them, everything about it. I mean, I understand they're 3-4, and I get it, but they're still second in the NFC East. But it's like, what does that mean? You know, because you get the Redskins in there and the Giants, and they're both kind of hurting. So, just like the point is, the Eagles, like, what happened? Like, it's just, you know, rhetorically asking. It's just, it's like gone. Like, the whole, everything about the Eagles.
Yeah, they missed DeSean Jackson, certainly on the offense, kind of take the cover off the top off the defense. You know, they do miss that. The offensive line, they don't run the ball effectively enough. The injuries in that defensive secondary, ties, they can't make up for the injuries in the defensive secondary with the pass rush up front, because the guys up front aren't getting after the quarterback. So, you know, you've got a number of issues. And then if you're bringing extra guys, if you're Schwartz and you decide to blitz guys, that means you're leaving cornerbacks who probably can't do it alone on an island for coverage, and you're open up to the big play, which we've seen time and time again from this Eagle team. So there's a number of issues for Philadelphia here moving forward. Clearly, Peterson, you know, said they're going to beat the Cowboys. They didn't. They got absolutely destroyed. Wentz after the game saying there's a lot of things that they have to work on. From a Cowboy perspective, Garrett can now get the, you know, everyone on his back off the hot seat here for a week. They needed to win a game. They win a game last night. They do it pretty stylishly. I still don't know what Dallas is. I got to be honest with you. I don't know what they are. They beat bad teams. They've lost to some good teams. I'd consider the Philadelphia Eagles not playing well right now, but they're a better team than what they represented last night. I give them credit for last night's win. I don't know what Dallas is. Like, I know what New Orleans is. No, they're really, I think I have a feel for Green Bay. Dallas is kind of one of those teams. I don't know. Last week's loss to the Jets kind of...
Yeah, that was a shock. It was 24-22. It wasn't... They were down
21-6.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they were down 21-3 at one point in time. You know, that wasn't a nip and tuck. That was them rallying, trying to come back on the Jets as the Jets kind of, you know, and they played much better in the second half than they did in the first half, Taz, but... You know, I would not say that was a close football game for the most part. Missing field goals, turnovers, and the like. I don't know what Cowboys are. And they've got some time to define themselves.
Yeah.
Last night, maybe that was a step in the right direction for the Cowboys, being one of these upper echelon teams in the NFC.
I get your point, and I see what you're saying. I mean, it started off the season, I think it was like week two, they beat the Rams, you know, and they beat the Rams, and then it's like they beat the Texans after that, you know, so... But then, you know, they had some wins that against teams that, you know, they had three soft games in a row with the Giants, Redskins, and Dolphins. You know, so that
to
helped.
Start the year, right.
Early in the year, so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And,
but, you know, now they get this win, a strong win on the primetime deal on Sunday over the Eagles, an in-conference deal. And now they got a bye. And then they come back and they play the Giants on the road. So I like their chances against the Giants on the road. And they got a bye now.
I would agree with that.
So, you know,
I would agree. And listen, they have a chance to find themselves. And last night was certainly a statement game. That was not a nip and tuck battle down to the stretch.
Right.
That was not a close game in the fourth quarter. That was a game in which if you need to get up early, you went to bed early. If you want to watch something else, you find something else to watch on a Sunday night,
right.
Because that wasn't really nothing to write home about as Dallas took the Eagles behind the woodshed.
Yeah, no, they did. And, you know, and after that bye, you know, yeah, they're going to go on the road and play the Giants. But then I think we'll really see what they're about again on a Sunday night game against the Vikings as they host the Vikings.
That's a good game.
That's a good game.
It is.
That's a good game. And it gets tough after that, too. Lions and then Pats. So, you know, and then Bills. So, I mean, they got some tough games coming up.
You'll learn a little bit more about the Cowboys here as we go along. Need to win a game last night, and they certainly did. All right, yeah. Number two.
Astros advance to the World Series to face the Nationals.
Nah, they do, Taz. What a game on Saturday night. Astros and Nats in the World Series gets going down in Houston tomorrow night. But they eliminate the Yankees, a series that kind of lived up to the billing in terms of the two best teams in the American League. They gave you a riveting series. The games were long. I'm not going to tell you that. And if you decide to turn off at the 3.5 or 4 hour mark, I don't blame you. It's a long commitment to a baseball game.
Yeah, I know this.
There's no doubt about
it. I was locked in. I enjoyed these games.
I know, I agree with you, but we're not 22 years old.
No, right here.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I don't know if that's necessarily selling it to the millennial out there. Hey, let's get locked in for 5 hours of baseball on a Tuesday night.
No, you're right about
that. But tough loss for the Yankees on Saturday night. Tough way to end. They were all upset. Boone hugging guys in that clubhouse after the game. Altuve and the Astros showed themselves to be the better team. He's an amazing player. I think you got to, even though you don't have the two biggest markets in the country, Taz, what you do have is, I think, the two teams playing the best in October in the World Series. And that's what you want to see.
No doubt.
I think you're going to get yourself a pretty good series here.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's going to be definitely a good series. And we talked a lot about this earlier. A lot of people called the show, too. And we all discussed, us and our callers, that it should be, with the Nats and the Astros, some strong pitching matchups. You know, for those baseball fans out there, they're gonna be fun games to watch. They're gonna be good games.
Yeah, and
it's all about pitching, right?
And it's all about pitching. It's a little bit old school, right? Where it's been kind of about the bullpen. Now this series is all about the starting rotation: Cole and Verlander and Scherzer and Strasburg and Patrick Corbin and the like. Which is kind of a days of baseball maybe 10, 15 years ago, as compared to what it is all about the bullpens here. Last number of years in on the baseball front, and hopefully baseball gets a great series. I think it will. You know, for the Yankees here and the way that they go out another year, kind of reshuffle the cards and figure out if you're Brian Cashman. I always hate the mindset, Taz. It bothers me when guys go, when a team fails in the postseason, and that's where the Yankees define themselves, and other teams do as well. The Dodgers certainly. you know, I do agree with what Judge said. You know, this season's a disappointment. It's a disappointment, whatever, however way you phrased it after the game. I hate the idea of, well, you play the regular season and hope for the best in the postseason. I think that's not. I think there are guys that are built for October, built for playoffs, built NHL, Stanley Cup, NBA, built for all of that. And then there are other guys that come up small in those spots. And I hate the whole mantra, well, you never know when you get to October. I know you don't know but,
right.
You know, for the Yankees, this is a disappointment to where you don't say, well, we'll roll back the same team and hope for the best next October. No, I think you learn from what transpired here. You learn from the guys that could cut it and the guys that can't. And then you try and adjust this team in the offseason, no?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, so if you know, what would you do? Cashman, you're a diehard Yankee fan your whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, you're locked into this team every move they make. If someone said, here's the keys to the car, Moose, for 2020 New York Yankees baseball, what are you doing?
Yeah, I would let Gardner walk.
Hmm.
I would say bye-bye so long to Edwin Encarnacion.
Right.
I might think about the idea of not re-signing Didi Gregorius and give him the kind of contract he's looking and moving Gleyber Torres over to short and having DJ LeBeau be my everyday second baseman. Those would be probably, I'd make sure that Clint Frazier's a part of this team in 2020.
Which is
Sanchez. I would keep him.
Yeah, huh?
You'd get rid of him?
Man, I'm just not a fan, man. I mean, him behind the dish is just, it's a nightmare. He just, no hustle, just no, it feels like there's no, my brother-in-law's a big Yankee fan like you,
yeah.
Right? Diehard Yankee fan, right? And I was watching the game with him on Friday at his house. And he's like, this guy's just hard to watch. Like, even when he's doing well, he's like, there's just something about him, you know? It's just,
well, it looks like he doesn't care.
That's what I mean. It's just a lackluster, you know, demeanor. And his play reflects that.
Well, you're not wrong, but he also can give you 30 plus home runs at catcher.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard to replace.
That's hard.
That kind
of
offensive production.
A lot of offense, yeah.
You're right, but here's what you know what kind of personifies Gary Sanchez? LeMahieu's going through that 10 pitch or 12 pitch at bat, whatever it was. In the top half of the ninth inning. And in between one of the pitches, they span the Yankee dugout. Right? And you see like guys on the edge of their seat like staring in. Right,
Monty
Gary. Right, yeah. They look at Gary Sanchez. I think he's blowing a bubble.
Be funny if they were allowed to have their phones, be on his phone texting someone.
Like it looked like a guy that just, you know, win or lose, it doesn't.
No matter. I'm going to get paid. I'm here, and that's it.
To me kind of like personifies the image of Gary Sanchez. Other guys are sitting there, you know, and they're like, oh, even Encarnacion has been brutal.
Yeah. Gardner's taking his bat, slamming it against the dugout roof.
Right, exactly.
At least he's locked in.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bill gets Sanchez. He's like, what inning are we in?
Yeah. If we win today, we have another game like that. He just seems like he's just aloof.
No, I don't disagree. And your brother-in-law is kind of similar with a lot of Yankee fans. They've grown tired of Gary Sanchez.
Yeah.
But Cashman loves him. That's why I don't think he's going to go anywhere. But this will be interesting offseason. All right, next.
Number 3.
Tua Tagovailoa undergoes surgery for high ankle sprain. He should change his frickin' last name.
There you go. Very nice.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, my God.
So he's definitely out this week. High ankle sprain for Tua down in Alabama. Taz, he's an issue staying healthy. I'd be a little concerned about him in the NFL taking hits and being able to stay healthy. If he's getting hurt like this on the college level, that's a problem when you're looking moving forward. Now, that's for a discussion later on, right around when we're around the NFL draft. For now, for Alabama, is you got to make sure he's back on the field against LSU.
Yeah.
No. That's 3 weeks away. Do you think Tua, after this kind of surgery, can be healthy enough to play in 3 weeks?
Look, he's young. He's in great shape and all that jazz. And, you know, kids like this, they recover quick. You know, I know that. I got to tell you, I never had a high ankle. I never had a surgery on a high ankle. I don't think he's ready to go, especially against a defense like LSU's going to bring. And they're going to be pinning their ears back, dude. If he's back playing, they're going to pin their ears back on Tua. If he's back coming fresh off of a, you know, high ankle sprain surgery, God dang it, man. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do here. I mean, that's a serious thing he's got going on here. I bet you now he wishes he had, what's his name, went over to Oklahoma, Hurts, right?
Yeah, I know,
you know what
right?
I mean? That contingency plan was real nice. No more contingency plan for Coach Saban there in regards to having a guy like Hurts there, you know. But he's got depth at that quarterback spot. He's got depth at every position. It's Oklahoma football. I mean, it's Alabama football, you know.
What do you need to... It's a high ankle sprain, right? What's a tightrope procedure? He had a similar procedure, opposite ankle, last year. They said it's a successful tightrope procedure to help in the recovery process, and they expect a full and speedy recovery. Now, is it something to where they're trying to alleviate the swelling to bring about the healing process, to help the healing process? I mean, there's no... But the high ankle...
That stabilizes your ankle after the surgery. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as far as, like, the tightrope fixation, it'll... From what I never had it, but I know a little bit about it.
So it stabilizes the ankle.
Right.
They're doing a surgery to stabilize the ankle. So with a high ankle sprain, you stretch your ligaments. There's nothing torn, right? It's a stretching of the ligaments.
Stretch, yeah. To bands, which is muscle.
Yeah.
Stretches.
And gotcha.
It inflames a lot. You know, a lot of times it'll blow up. You know, it'll inflame. Sometimes it doesn't inflame. Like when I had my neck injury, I had a bunch of bands in my neck, you know, expanded. And that's where the pain is. But it didn't inflame. I mean, because you never know what's going on, and that's what MRIs do. So I guess they're going to go in there to kind of stabilize the whole thing. That's why I don't think he's going to be ready in a few weeks. But, I mean, you're at Alabama football, any D1 program, you're getting the greatest doctors, especially Alabama football. This kid is one of the more bigger names, you know, in college football.
Well, Tess, you've been through a number of surgeries. Let me describe what the surgery is, right? Here it is. They drill a hole from the fibula into the tibia and cast these tight ropes through the bone and sink it down and tighten it. How is he going to be playing football in 3 weeks?
I don't know, dude. I really don't know.
I'm not a doctor. I have no idea. And you've battled one injury after another during your wrestling career. You didn't have this. You've had a lot of other things. But I guess now he had one last year after the SEC championship game. But after the SEC championship game, what did they have? Like 4.5 weeks until they play in that national semifinal. We're looking at 19 days. That's a long time. If he's not on the field, that changes everything for Alabama.
Against
LSU.
That flies around.
Especially against Joe Burrow in that offense.
Exactly.
I mean, he just said, think about how good Burrow has been at LSU this year, throwing the football, Taz. They play game 7, week 8. Game 7, week 8 for LSU. He just set a touchdown record for quarterbacks for a year after 7 games.
That's amazing. Tremendous. Yeah, no, they I don't know how this kid's going to come back and play off this thing here. I really don't. I mean, you're not playing a Southern Miss program that you smoked like 50-0, whatever it was. You know, you're playing against a legitimate defense, a legitimate opponent that's an SEC in conference opponent they're LSU football.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't know. And I know that I think they're home, right? That game? I think they are home. Yeah, they're home.
Yeah.
They're playing that game home. So that helps a little, but I guess they'll just have to monitor his progress every day.
Yeah, I mean, guess they feel like he can. And every athlete, as you mentioned, Taz, every athlete recovers a little bit differently.
Especially the young guys like this.
Sure.
They recover quick a lot of times. But
it'll be interesting to see if he's on the field. And if he's on the field, Taz, the mobility he has. Because that's going to be the other issue as well. It's not a matter of, I can physically get and play quarterback. Now, can you play quarterback the same way that you did before the injury?
Right. Well, that's
the other question you have,
too. That's going to be the thing. No, you're right.
We'll find out about the recovery process of Tua here moving forward. But he has had ankle surgery. He's out definitely this week. We'll see if he's back for LSU. And that is less than 3 weeks away. It's Taz of the Moose here on this Monday morning. And there you have it, the three. We'll head up to Buffalo next. The Bills. Not all that impressive, but a win nonetheless against the Miami Dolphins as they do what they needed to do. It's Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
All right, and CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. And time for a little ExxonMobil as well. If industrial plants could capture CO2, think how we could help lower emissions. ExxonMobil is working to make it happen. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. This week's unexpected play, how about the play of Teddy Bridgewater? threw for 281 yards, two scores, as the Saints improved to 5-0 with him under center. In for the injured Drew Brees after defeating the Bears yesterday in Chicago, 36-25. Your final. Bogish, good morning. How are you?
Moose, I'm third well. Good morning to you as well. Taz, yes, top of the morning.
Yes.
Here's your report. It is sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Before you go on, you're up to date. I owe you an apology.
Let me sit down. Hold on.
Earlier this morning, before the show went on the air, I verbally attacked you because you came over to my cubicle and spoke to me.
Yes.
And I apologize. The way I spoke to you.
No. I'm sorry that I spoke to you as a person. I don't know why I thought I was allowed to do that. It's me, not you.
No. Well, you didn't see me in a newsroom, so you didn't know where I was.
And all of a sudden, it was like 5:40, and I was just I was curious.
But I show prep in other areas of this building. I don't just sit where everybody else sits. I go all over the floor here.
No, I know, and I looked around. I didn't see any one of your beautiful hats that you normally wear. I think today you went with the Oilers one of my favorites.
Old school Oilers.
I looked all over, and I couldn't see your head peeking up through a cubicle.
And then when you came over to me, you said, where were you? And I just attacked you.
Yeah.
I mean, bad.
Right. You time carded me?
Yeah. And Mikey B just walked away.
Yes.
Oh, happy Monday.
Yeah. Welcome back.
It was nice. Well,
one big happy family.
How you feeling, Andrew?
I'm feeling well. Thanks for asking, Moose. You look great today, by the way.
Thank you.
Dak Prescott scored twice, once for Ezekiel Elliott, and this last night from Cowboys kicker Brett Maher.
Kicks on the way. Long enough. Oh, he did it. He did it. It's history. Brett Maher is the first kicker in NFL history to hit 360-plus yard field goals in his career.
And he's done it in two seasons, numbers 2 and 3 coming in back-to-back weeks. Last night's was from 63 yards and gave the Cowboys a 27-7 halftime lead on the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. Brad Sham called it on Cowboys radio. Dallas smacked Philly 37-10 for an emphatic end to their three-game skid. It also puts the boys back atop the NFC East. In the afternoon, the Chargers thought they scored the go-ahead touchdown twice in the final minute in Tennessee, but review took away a catch from Austin Eckler and a run from Melvin Gordon. A false start negated another Gordon trip into the end zone, and then this happens.
Handoff goes to Gordon, waiting for a signal. Waiting for a signal.
Oh, the ball might have come out.
Did the Titans recover the ball? I'm still waiting for a referee signal.
Yeah, Matt Money Smith, Chargers radio.
He's got a lot of charisma.
Signal.
I'm waiting for the signal.
Finally got the signal, and it was for a Gordon fumble at the goal line, so the Titans escaped somehow. 23-20. Those Bolts have dropped 3 in a row. They are now 2-5 on the season. The Saints are 5-0 without Drew Brees. 36-25 winners in Chicago. The Ravens pulled away from the Seahawks in Seattle, 30-16, and the Packers dumped the Raiders 42-24. Aaron Rodgers, 5 touchdown passes, 1 running. The Niners are 6-0 after a 9-0 win in Washington, and the Falcons lost to the Rams 37-10, extending their drought to 5 games. And QB Matt Ryan knocked out in the fourth quarter with a right ankle injury. Ryan in a walking boot postgame. As you guys just discussed,
Tua Tagovailoa
had surgery yesterday morning for the right high ankle sprain that
Tua Tagovailoa
suffered Saturday night. Nick Saban saying in a statement that
Tua Tagovailoa
will make a speedy recovery, but
Tua Tagovailoa
is out for Saturday's game with Arkansas. Auburn joins the top 10 of the AP poll at number 9. That gives the SEC 5 teams
in
that top 10.
Have you called this weekend any games? Any college games?
I did a Fordham-Lehigh game on Saturday afternoon.
Football.
Nice. Yes.
Nice. Mount Hawks.
Mount Hawks. Big overtime win on the road for them.
Mount Hawks won?
Yes, they did.
Oh, they were playing at Fordham?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
The guy who does play-by-play on the internet?
Right. Yeah.
To attack Avalua.
There's a lot of good Patriot League football there, and Lehigh has always been. Are they good this year, Lehigh?
Well, the Patriot League as a whole this year is not good.
Oh, no, it's not?
But
it usually
is
pretty good.
Yeah, but now they're 2-0. They used to be, when I was a student, they were the cream of the crop. They
Lehigh.
Were like,
Yeah, I remember for years they were good.
Yeah, they and Colgate were
Colgate
like the Yankees
good.
And
yeah.
Red Sox of the Patriot
Raiders.
League for
yes.
a long time.
Yeah, for a long time, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
There was a short time Bucknell was okay.
Yeah.
That was a few years
good
after
crowd
that.
At Fordham?
Yeah, I'd say so.
How many, what does that stadium hold?
Somewhere around like 7,000.
How many were there?
Maybe 4,500.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
But Lehigh's got great colors there. Brown and like gold, I think.
See, I was saying, I like brown. It's an underrated uniform color.
I'm with you.
The Padres going back to the old brown.
Permanent, like athletic gold and brown. Nice. Yeah, Lehigh does brown and metallic gold, which is more like the New Orleans Saints gold.
Yes.
They're going that route. I mean, that's what they've gone. Mountain Hawks.
Right.
Yeah, I'm very familiar. Yeah.
I haven't seen the Lehigh uniform. I'll look at
it. It's cool. They have cool colors. Yeah, they're all their sports team uniforms are cool.
They could actually use a little more brown in their road
They should use
get-ups.
More? I don't know what they wear. White on the road?
Well, yeah, white on that gold with the same gold helmet. So it's actually not as brown as I would like it to be.
The helmet used to be brown, though.
No, it's a lighter shade now.
And it had
it's the
L
other
on it.
Color. Yeah.
They have a mountain hawk on it now?
No more mountain hawk.
All right.
No. We good? Any other questions?
I'm just trying to have a casual
Holy
conversation.
Cross,
you,
no.
We go Holy Cross or Crusade. We go purple. Purple. You want to go purple, white,
another
right
underrated
up.
Uniform color.
Yeah, Worcester, Massachusetts. You go play. My son played the cross there. We freaking go where the parking lot is. You got to walk past the stadium to get to the field.
Mm.
It's snowing out. It's freezing. I'm like, why are we not playing on this field? Well, this field's for football.
Yeah.
Well, what are you guys, the Patriots? Yeah, right. We got to go to this little dump field to play a lacrosse game, freezing, and my kid gets kicked out of the game for fighting.
There you go.
How about that?
Cherry on
Smart.
The top.
He's cold. I'm out. Let me throw a punch.
He did nothing wrong, my son. He was such an angel. It wasn't his fault what happened.
I can tell you hockey scores, but they don't matter. So back to you guys.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. Some games we didn't touch upon yesterday in Week 7. Taz, up in Buffalo, the Bills struggled a little bit with the Miami Dolphins, but finally came across with the win. Fitzpatrick played. He played okay.
Yeah,
they certainly played a lot better with him at quarterback than with Josh Rosen. But the Dolphins accomplished what they wanted to accomplish at the end of it, which was another loss.
Yeah, well, listen, they did. I got to tell you, I mean, and all the momentum was in favor of the Bills. I watched the whole game, obviously, as a Bills fan. And for the first half, for sure, it was the Bills couldn't get out of their own way. They just couldn't get nothing done. And the Dolphins were super efficient. This kid, this running back they got, Walton, was running the ball really well. So was Drake. And Fitzpatrick was efficient. He was 23 of 35, 282 yards. I mean, threw a pick at a point, I think it was to Tre'Davious White, I think. I'm trying to remember who, or Micah Hyde. I can't remember which one of those cats. I was a little bit worried a little bit at one point during this game, believe it or not. But then in the fourth quarter, the Bills turned it on and scored 22 points. Won the game 31-21. But yeah, no, it wasn't a great outing by the Bills. It wasn't a great outing by Josh Allen either. So, you know, you would think it's a really bad team. You're going to smoke them. What was the line again? It was like 17,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 17. Miami covered. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
So Miami gave you a little bit more of an inspired effort up there in Orchard Park, but the Bills victorious, and they get themselves to 5-1. How about the performance by Kirk Cousins yesterday in Detroit? Is, you know, Cousins' last three games has turned a corner, whether it be the Giant game and then home for the Philadelphia Eagles, now on the road in Detroit. And Cousins played very, very well as he throws four touchdown passes on the afternoon to four different receivers, Rudolph, Johnson, Thielen, who left the game after that one reception from 25 yards out, which was the score with a hamstring injury, and the immortal C.J. Ham as well, catching a touchdown for the Minnesota Vikings, and from Kirk Cousins as he throws for 337 yards. The Lions, this is the first game you look at it, they were not the better team. The Vikings clearly were the better team in this one. The Lions are now an under 500 team for Matt Patricia. But Minnesota, maybe they've turned a corner a little bit. They're now 5-2. Cousins throwing the ball a little bit better. He throws for 337. Dalvin Cook runs for 142 yards and two scores as well. Just an all-around very good performance by the Minnesota Vikings in Detroit.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. That's a big, big win on the road for them, too. You know, that's a really big win. They made a statement. Diggs also played really well. I mean, he was 8-7 with 142 yards. He played good. And you're right. Cousins definitely was excellent. And, it was definitely a huge win for them to be able to do that against a team like we've talked a lot about the Lions, where they're kind of unpredictable. You know, Matt Patricia has that team going pretty good here. If you look at their record, you're not that impressed. But they play tough. They play tough football. And, I mean, I know they're sitting dead last in the NFC North. I know that. But, you know, they play hard, though. They're 2-3. They're 2-3-1 now, I think, right? So, the Vikings are 5-2.
Correct.
So, you know, I mean, I thought it was impressive, for sure. And especially on the road, like I said, so in conference dealers. So, Good job for all those by the Vikings, for all those Viking fans out there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And another team that was impressive yesterday, up to Seattle we go. How about the Baltimore Ravens? Marcus Peters, new team. He has a pick six in his first game as a member of the Baltimore Ravens. Picked Russell Wilson off. His first interception that he threw this season for Wilson. And they win the game to the Ravens, going away 30-16. Lamar Jackson throws for 143 yards, runs for 116, and a score. Now, as I was pumping up Russell Wilson last week as being MVP candidate. If you look at the players yesterday on the field, Lamar Jackson was the better player as compared to Russell Wilson, as the Ravens win the game by two scores going away. Defense played very, very well for Baltimore. They need a corner. They got one in Marcus Peters. They needed some help in that secondary. Seattle was sloppy with the football, and they ended up falling out of 5-2. That's a nice statement victory for Baltimore.
Oh, no kidding. Again, on the road. On the road to get that kind of, that kind of win over the Seahawks at the time. 5-1, I think the Hawks were. Would have got Russell Wilson in there. No, Lamar Jackson, I think he's making a statement. The balance of him throwing the ball and how athletic we know since coming out of college out of Louisville, we know how well he ran the ball. He had 116 yards rushing yesterday. Lamar Jackson. So, but he's an excellent game manager for such a young guy. You know what I mean? Like, there's something the way he runs the offense. The players around him connect him. They listen to him. They're clicking, man. They click well, and I didn't expect them to be sitting 5-2 right now.
No, and there they are 5-2 nonetheless, and they got better with the addition of Peters, who had a pick six yesterday. How about the Indianapolis Colts and Texans? This was a game I was looking forward to yesterday afternoon watched a lot of this game when I was at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It was a good matchup back and forth. The Colts were the better team. Jacoby Brissett, here's what impresses you about Indianapolis yesterday. They come off a bye week. Last time we saw them, they were playing control the clock, run the football, win at the point of attack. Yesterday against the Houston Texans, they basically cut Jacoby Brissett loose. They only run for about 60 yards as a team. Brissett throws for well over 300 yards, throws four touchdowns, spreads the football around. They wanted to maybe kind of showcase, they realized the matchup, and that's what you love about Frank Reich here, Taz, in terms of putting together a game plan as a head coach. They changed the style in which they played offensively based on the opponent that they were going up against, and that team was able to execute it. You love that. You know what that shows me? That's signs of a good team, really.
Absolutely.
Good team.
And they dominated at time possession, to your point, the Colts did. And you're right. And what they're utilizing is that awesome offensive line they have. And that's how – and look, we're seeing Brissett. He is not just like – he's playing really well. He's not just like some basic QB. No one's thinking about Andrew Luck no more. You come out there, you get yourself four touchdowns, and you're over 320 something yards. It's impressive. It's impressive.
Has he hit eight different receivers too?
It's unbelievable. He's spreading the
Pascal,
ball around.
Pascal, Hilton, Ebron, Rogers, Doyle, Hines, Mack, Wilkins. He had a number of different guys over the course of the day. And here's what bothers you about the Houston Texans is, Watson, who we all love and I love, and he's a great player. It was just sloppy. Two interceptions. They weren't able to finish off a couple drives where they drove deep into Indianapolis territory. That's a credit to that Colts defense, but that's a good victory, and that's going to be a fun division to watch the rest of the way with the Colts and Texans and throwing a little bit of the Jaguars. They've got a lot of work to do as well to get themselves back into it, but that's going to be a fun division in the AFC.
Oh, no, I totally agree. It is, and again, if you're a Colts fan, I remember you and I were sitting here when we got word that Andrew Luck is, stepping down, and everybody was like, oh, God, everybody's kind of panicking, and it's like, they have a lot of elements around. They had a lot of elements around Luck that made it a good team. And that main thing is that stout offensive line, which Brissett has taken advantage of and Reich is, and hence why they're sitting 4-2 first place in the AFC South right now. The Texans right behind them. So it's a good division. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, don't sleep on them. They still could be in this thing.
No, they can. And they had a nice victory yesterday. You'd expect them to beat Cincinnati, and they did. Defensive touchdown late to kind of seal the victory. They scored, I think it was, 18 points, in that fourth quarter yesterday, kind of a game in which you thought maybe the Bengals are going to get their first victory of the year. Cincinnati, the Jaguars turned it on in the fourth quarter, and they were able to create some turnovers, wreak some havoc, and put some points up on the board. And how about the Packers yesterday, Taz? That line, think about this, the Oakland Raiders, that line against the Packers, and this is kind of a betting angle, but that line opened up at 7. The Raiders then, when that game got kicked off, was down to 5. So that line moved from 7 to 5. And what that means is that there was a lot of money on the Raiders, looking at them as being kind of a live dog in Green Bay against the Packers. Packers win that game going away 42-24. And really the turning point of the game in that first half, Taz, was Carr going in, trying to reach the ball over the pylon, loses control. Because at that stage, the Raiders are about to take the lead late second quarter. He fumbles the ball out of the end zone, touchback, Packers take the ball, they drive down the field, score a touchdown, add another touchdown right before the half. So all of a sudden, what could have been at that stage, you know, a Raider lead or maybe a slight Packer lead, the Packers are leading 21-10 at the half.
Oh, no doubt. And good gosh, Rodgers had a day.
Oh, my God. He was great.
429 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, just 25 of 31. Dude, he was on point. I watched a good chunk of this game. I was like, wow. He really made a statement at home on Jon Gruden's Raiders, man. It was like, damn.
Yeah,
he played great, man. He really did.
And how about Valdez-Scantling taking that little pass and going the house? He showed off his speed.
Impressive,
2 catches, man. 133 yards and a touchdown. And the Raiders also have got a stud at the running back spot. Josh Jacobs. Who left the game a little bit for a shoulder injury. He runs for 124 yards in the loss. He's going to be a really special running back for Gruden long-term for Raiders.
Yeah, you know, and if you look at the in regards to first downs and time possession of the overall game, it's actually very close.
Yeah.
You know, very close. I mean, the score says 42-24 Pack over Oakland, but it was actually, you know, when you watch it, it definitely felt close. It was a hard-hitting, good game. I enjoyed the moments of the game that I watched. Like, I was watching a lot of different games, but I definitely caught a lot of this, and Rodgers was just a star, you know?
You know, it's kind of corny. I love fall games at Lambeau when the sun is out.
Yeah, with the sun out.
With the when the sun's out, I think it's just a very, very, like, when I think about when I think about watching football games, I always love watching college football games in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. I think that's a beautiful scene to watch a college game. I just think it, you know, the grass always looks greener.
Right.
It's kind of like it looks like they're running on a fairway of a golf course. Like it's a pretty field. I love Lambeau Field when the sun is out, the fall, and it's kind of setting late in the game.
I got you.
I think it's just a nice atmosphere to kind of watch a football game, and you saw that a little bit yesterday between the Packers and Raiders.
You set the table well, and to each his own. I'm the opposite. I like what we saw with the Redskins. I like a rain game. I like rain.
You like that game?
I do. I like a sloppy. That's interesting. Sloppy track. I do. I like football old school, raining. You know, now it's not the same because it's mostly on field turf. It's not on natural grass.
Yeah.
So it's not the same. You know what I mean? But I like that.
You like that.
I do. I got you.
You like snow? I like snow.
Just not too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not to where it's like guys can't run.
Can't play. Right,
yeah,
right.
Right. I got you. A little bit of
I'm not into the sunshine with the football.
Oh, I thought it was.
Sunshine's a baseball game. Sunshine on a baseball. That's how I look at
it. Could be in
it's just me. You know?
So. It's Taz the Moose with you here on this Monday morning. We got the undercard coming your way next. Things that we have not hit upon yet be coming your way. It's as we roll right along, Sirius at XM Channel 206, the app as well. Check out all of our great affiliates all across the country. We come back, the undercard with you next, right here. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to Ask the Pros. Where you the answer, Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Frank out in Rhode Island. Think Brady gets the offense going tonight in Jersey? I'm not so sure about that. Williams' defense has been very, very good. You know, he's done a lot with a little. They've got deficiencies talent-wise, Taz. I mean, I think Brady will have some drives. I don't know if the offense, though, will click at a high level tonight. I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, I'm with you. My gut tells me the same thing. I just could be hopeful. As a former Jet fan, a lifetime Patriot hater, I don't want to see them win the game. They're probably going to go 7-0 here. But I don't think it's going to be easy peasy for Mr. Brady. I think somehow, some way, the Jets will get some pressure up front. If they could crack some of that offensive line blocking scheme, put some pressure, force Tom Brady out of the pocket, get him out of his comfort zone, that'd be a beautiful thing on a Monday night to watch him get hit a few times.
Oh, it'd be nice. I agree with you.
Great.
And the Jet fan is starting to believe with the return of Sam Darnold. So we'll see exactly what that offense for the Jets can do as well. But the Jets defensively. You'll see what kind of what Williams decides to do later on tonight. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
You know, that's strong defense to the Patriots defense, number one overall defense, and that's Belichick running that defense. So, you know, Sam Darnold coming back, this is his second game back. You know, let's see how he does.
Yeah, good point.
It's you know, that Belichick, he's going to take advantage because he knows this guy's young and give him some looks that can maybe possibly screw him up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and it's obviously a more difficult landing spot than last week against the Dallas Cowboys, where Darnold looked very, very good. But the one thing that offense will be is representable. Last time we saw him up there in Foxborough, the Jets couldn't do anything.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Because of the limitations at the position. I agree with you. It'll be it's a good test. It'll be a fun matchup. For a team that's 1-4, the Jets are an interesting team.
They are. I hope they show up. I just hope hopefully Lev Bell has a good game. You know, that could happen. This guy could bust out. It's, again, tough with that defense, the Pats, but you never know. They have you know, resources to get some things done. So we'll see. If Donald's on point and their defense could step up against Brady and get some pressure up front, like I said, that would be interesting to see. I mean, I hope it happens.
It's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, I'm dialed in.
I'm looking forward to the watch. You're right. It would be nice to see Le'Veon Bell for the Jets have that kind of a game. All right, here we go. The undercard.
Taz and the Moose present The Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Michael. How many more weeks is Dan Quinn the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons?
Oh. I don't know. I mean, there's problems. I mean, like, I don't want to see anyone lose their job, you know, but I don't even want to say, but I hope he makes it to the end of the year. I mean, they're 1-6 right now. They got beat up by the Rams yesterday. And they were home. You know, they just they're
bad.
Just really bad.
I Seahawks mean, coming to town next week. And then
you got Julio Jones, one of the top receivers in the land. And he can't, you know. It's just it's just bad. Everything's just bad.
Now the Ryan foot injury. I'll say if they get embarrassed against Seattle next week at home, I think he gets fired. Then they're on a bye week, week 9. Allow the interim head coach to kind of maybe change some things over the course of a couple weeks. Now the Ryan injury does change some things, but I think if you don't, and they're 1-6 ties, if they don't give you some kind of a bow, give you a representable performance against Seattle and get their doors blown off again, I could see him getting fired next week.
I hope not, but yeah, you could be right. You could be right about that.
Because then you have the bye week. If you're not going to do it then don't do it.
Right. Yeah, no.
And the team's terrible. I mean, I listened to some of his post-game presser yesterday after the game. He's getting asked about it. You know, he's talking about this team's effort. He's talking about how he delineated some of the defensive play calling. He was asked specifically about what coaches are now calling plays. He said, I'm not going to get into that. I mean, it's just bad down there in Atlanta.
Yeah, didn't expect that. It'd be like that with the talented offensive guys they have, and they just can't get it done. So all signs get a point towards coach getting being Gonski. That could happen.
Yeah, getting canned. All right, next.
Oh! Lane Kiffin was upset with his team's 36-31 loss to Marshall on Saturday. So Kiffin took to social media and posted 3 referees that were blind holding dogs. He was then fined $5,000 for the tweet, and Kiffin wasn't thrilled about it, saying, "We have a freedom of speech, but I guess around here there's no such thing as freedom to tweet. Maybe LeBron James will come out and comment about it tomorrow."
Wow, he's too much.
What a weekend for Kiffin.
Lane is great.
Lane's the gift that keeps on giving. Guys, he's something else.
He gets LeBron James into the equation.
He mixes him in. I get the tweet. I mean, now they fine him, but but it's just because, is it because it's him? You know, he's always doing something. You know what I mean? He's a wild man. You know what I mean? It's always something with him.
There is. I can understand why he got fined the $5,000, though. You can't be sending that out if you're a coach, right?
I guess not, no.
That was it. Bill O'Brien. He was asked about the officiating yesterday. It's a guys, I'm not commenting about officiating. He goes, you could ask all you want. I will have no comment. I'm just letting you guys know I'm not talking about the officiating. I'm not commenting on calls. I'm not commenting on anything. I'm not talking about the officiating.
Yeah, these guys, it costs these coaches money when they do.
Right, exactly.
You know, and it's like they protect these officials left and right. You know what I mean? Coaches get frustrated and they can't speak their mind.
Lane's amazing, though, down there.
He really is. He's something else, man.
He really is for college football. There's no doubt. All right. That does it for us. Good job, Taz.
Great
enjoyed
job.
It
you
today.
Too, thank you, everyone.
Mike, Pete, across the way, Bogish with your updates as well. Thank you to Andrew. Job well done. Glad he's feeling better. And thanks for tuning in, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Remember, Sirius and XM Channel 206. Download the podcast each and every day. Radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Sign off. Enjoy your Monday. Till tomorrow. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.